Welcome to the Let's Learn Love podcast, your vehicle to a better love life. Come along with your host, Dr. Cassandra M. Parks, as she explores love from all sides, relationships, dating, and intimacy. Always sure to be an interesting and thought-provoking time. So come on and let's learn love in a fun way. And now your host, Dr. Cassandra M. Parks.
We are here on another podcast episode of Let's Learn Love with Dr. Parks, and today's guest, I am so thrilled to have her, is Sharia Mitchell. She is an entrepreneur. She is a former educator like me, so we got a lot of things in common like that. She is a singer-songwriter. She just founded a nonprofit. Oh, my gosh, we really have to talk to her and see what she's got going on. Thank you, Sharia. How are you? Thank you for being on the show.
I'm doing well, Dr. Parks. Cassandra, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I came across some of the things that you were doing. I hope we're friends. But
yes, of course.
I just know that you have a lot of interesting things going on, and I was like, I need to talk to her and find out what's going on, especially with this love rules that we're going to talk about in a little bit. You know, that perked my interest, you know, especially anything with love, and you know I'm going to read and find out what that's about. So tell us a little bit about you and what you got going on and just who you are.
Well, I like to call myself a Renaissance woman. I really truly believe that just like there are four seasons in the year that we have to recognize and not be afraid to go through seasons in our life. So I've spent seasons in my life doing different things. Like I said, I was an educator for a while, almost 10 years. I've been an entrepreneur, have real estate business. I just started a nonprofit called the Upendo Global Education Fund, which is basically I'll be funding educational travel for underprivileged students. We want to, you know, get these kids, because I used to be a Spanish teacher, and so I'm very, very vocal and very excited about students learning language and also being exposed to other cultures to, you know, so that we can, you know, have globally minded scholars. And I'm also a singer-songwriter. I've been doing that. I did that before I've done anything else. I mean, I've been singing and writing music since I was 13 years old. So, you know, I've toured with rock bands. My best friend Soleil is a rapper. I've always toured with her when she was, you know, in her heyday and stuff like that. And was a part of a group. So, you know, I have a pretty colorful history as far as, you know, things that I've done in my life. I met my boyfriend, Steve. They also call him Dutch Rocka. And he has a brand called Love Rules. And I have basically become his brand ambassador.
Okay.
Which is, you know, another positive thing that we've got going on. But, you know, I'm into living life and also living life without limits, meaning that, you know, I don't feel like I'm bound to do one particular thing my whole life. They say that, you know, the traits of millionaires and stuff like that is that you have more than one stream of income. So I've always just been, you know, and you know, for my brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying, that like to call it hustling, I've always been that. So
yeah. Well, especially now in these days and times, you know, everything is so uncertain, so you have to really do many things in order just to stay afloat, you know. So it's good to have your head, you know, your hand in a lot of things, so you can always move and shake, and you never know who you're going to meet in those endeavors.
Yeah. And I truly can say that, you know, right now I'm on my own. I'm an entrepreneur. I don't, you know, I have my businesses that are in place, and I don't have to, you know, punch a clock for anybody or work for anybody else. I'm really in a place that I'm very happy that, I'm able to do the things that I love to do, whatever I feel like that is. You see what I'm saying? So I'm very blessed and fortunate that I'm able to do what I do in life and able to have a colorful lifestyle of doing what I love.
Yes.
And also giving back.
Yes, that is very important. And, just living your life right now with everything that's going on is teaching people that living life is so important, to, do what you want to do, make sure that you feel good, that you're in the right mental space, that, that everything around you is as good as it can be. So, I really love the fact that you're taking control of your life and that you're really just doing all the things that you feel that you want to do.
Yes, indeed.
So with that being said, with your hand being in all these kind of things, you did mention that you have a boyfriend, Steve. How do you juggle everything that you have going on and Steve, too?
You know what? He's a godsend, and I was divorced in 2017. I met Steve in 2017, the same year that I got divorced, and I was so anti-relationship at that point. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I'm not trying to have a relationship. Really, I just want to, be out here and, date. I dated. I mean, I had guys wanting to date me, It was
right.
It's never been, and I don't mean to say this in any kind of way, what I'm saying, to make anybody feel uncomfortable, but I've never had a problem dating guys or having guys to date or having options and all of that. And sometimes, really it was like, there were some guys that wanted to date me and I didn't want to date them because, since I was, getting a divorce, I didn't want to jump right back into a marriage. And I knew that that's the mentality that they had, so I wouldn't
right.
date just because they were, probably at some point going to be, wanting to do that. And so I was like, because my marriage that I was in was abusive, it was rough, it was, I didn't love myself enough to leave that marriage sooner than I did. But
right.
I promised myself afterwards that I would, that I would put myself first. So
right.
when I met Steve, that's all I was doing. He was my, people didn't even know, he's Jamaican. People didn't even know his name. I used to call him my Jamaican. People did not even know his name for literally like at least a year. And
right.
I have daughters and I also... So this has been an evolution
okay.
of us coming together. I think we started calling each other boyfriend and girlfriend maybe, last year sometime. Because
okay.
really we just, I would find myself wanting to spend time with him and he would find himself wanting to spend time with me. It wasn't until he has children too and I didn't introduce the kids until we had been dating for over a year before they ever saw him or met him. Same thing with his children. So, everything, because he's divorced too, so everything has just, naturally evolved into just a beautiful relationship. We really haven't even ever had a cross word with one another, and I know that's probably weird. Because people think when relationships that you're supposed to argue and fight and fuss, that doesn't mean that we haven't had some times that I've been upset or that he's, I can kind of tell with his tone though, like when he's like getting upset or something like that. And so when I feel like that kind of energy, I usually just kind of like back off. But I also, you learn so much when you are in a bad relationship. Well, you should anyway. So it's like if you know better, you do better. Like, I
right.
don't let things build up. If something is bothering me, like, for example, one morning, I sleep a little later than he does, and he gets up, and he'll start checking his phone. And a couple of times, he's done that, and he'll go to a post, and it'll be real loud, and it scares me awake. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that happened a couple of times, and when the second time it happened, I almost found myself, like, you know, like, just saying something, like, going off. Not going off, but I was like, you know, that irks me.
Right.
So I just waited. I let that moment pass of feeling, like, kind of angry. And later on in the day when I talked to him, I told him about it. I said, you know, because I said, if I ain't ever said nothing to him. And a lot of times we do that. We react on emotions and stuff like that.
Right.
But, and then it causes problems. But, you know, Steve is very easy. And he's such a calm person, and he doesn't, you know, get all upset. And I feel like God knew exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, coming from a tumultuous relationship to something that's really peaceful. And with everything that I do, I mean, he's just very supportive. And we have a lot of, he does music too. So music, you know, is just what we do. So, you know, that's something that he completely understands. So if I got to go to the studio and I'm there, you know, whatever, he's not worried about me being somewhere. He's not, you know what I'm saying? Because we do some of the same things. We record together. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
And it's not that we're together all the time, but the things that I do, he's also an entrepreneur. He has his brand that he's working on all the time. So, you know, we give each other feedback on music, on, you know, his designs, come up with ideas. So it's just a real, you know, it's just an easy thing. We still are in two separate places. We don't live together. That's something that I feel like over time, you know what I'm saying, would happen, but right now,
right.
We're just cool with, you know, cool with the things the way that they are, because I'm very conscious of my daughters and of, like I said, just doing things in a peaceful manner. And sometimes I think people, there's a term that say fools rush in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that a lot of times the people took their time a little bit more, even though, you know, time is a commodity that you don't get back. But also when you have put yourself in a situation that that wasn't well thought out, or that wasn't, you know, that was based on an emotion and not really seeing if this is really supposed to be something that, you know, that is everlasting and it's a good partnership and relationship, that you find yourself in a situation and you're going to end up wasting more time getting out of it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I love everything that you said, so I have some questions that spin off on what you just said. First,
okay,
when you got a divorce and you said you realized that you had stayed in a relationship too long, mm-hmm. How did you come out of it? How did you get yourself to realize that it's not with your worth, that you know that, you know, you deserve better in a relationship? What was the key to, you know, that you can pass along to help another woman that may be in that situation?
Oh, man. When you find yourself doing things in a relationship or accepting things from a person that you never did before that relationship, then that's a good indication that you have stopped loving yourself. And we have to understand that self-love, that everything that we give out begins from within. So if the picture is not right on the inside, if the fruit, you know what I'm saying, is not full and sweet on the inside, you cannot expect that it's going to, you know what I'm saying, the person that takes from it is going to taste that same thing. It's going, you know what I'm saying? So and for my situation, like, you know, I had left after 7 years at first, but you know, even at the beginning, before we got married, I was accepting things that were unacceptable to me. I was being, you know, belittled and berated and talked to, you know, in a manner that I didn't. And then my friends around me started to see a different person. And I take responsibility, though, because, you know, nothing happened to me that I didn't allow. And so
right.
I had to realize, you know what, it was, and I hate to say it like this because, you know, I hope for other women that it doesn't come to this for them. But
right.
it was my children, and specifically it was my daughter, my oldest daughter. The first time I left, she had just told me, she said, Mommy, She said, why did she? I was crying. She said, I know you're crying because of daddy. She said, why don't you just leave him so you can find your true love?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny now, but
yeah.
It's like funny with tears in my eyes because she really cared about me a lot. And she could see what I couldn't see and then.
Right.
So fast forward, I left. We kind of got back together, but it was easier because he was out of town. Like, he was doing a job out of town, so we didn't have to live together. But when he came back to Atlanta, it only took 1 year before I asked for the divorce, and then it took that year to actually get everything finalized. But and then again, it was my daughter. Like, the anger and stuff, you know, had spilled over to her, and he had done something that I felt like was very foul, and it was to her, and I just, you know what, at that point I decided, I said, the only reason why things like this keep happening is because I'm still here, is because I haven't said enough, and I haven't said it for my daughters, and I haven't said it for me. And then I started looking at how they would look at me, because my mother was in an abusive relationship as I got older, and I used to look at her and think that she was weak. I think that was one of the lessons that I learned, because it happened to me. And you know what I'm saying? So that cycle, you know what I'm saying, even though I felt like I was above it because I was watching it with my mom, you know what I'm saying, it became part of my whole existence, because I actually started to think that I had to go through some bullshit with I'm sorry, we're on the podcast.
You're good.
But I thought that I had to go through a bunch of bullshit just to be with somebody for a long time, because you know, we know each other. You and I are friends through your fiance, who is mm-hmm. one of my dear friends I've known for almost 30 years. You can ask Alaric. I had a reputation for guys not sticking around with a guy too long. My first long-term relationship was with my oldest daughter's dad, and that was the first one, and I was 28 years old, mm-hmm. 28. And I hadn't really been in a relationship that was longer than a year or maybe a year and a half. Most of the time, it would, you know what I'm saying, be 3 months. But that's because I really didn't have I had a low tolerance for bullshit. And if early on, I would believe people when they told me, and I would keep it pushing. But I started, as you get older, I started to lose that, because I felt like I was never going to be with anybody if I didn't go through that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, where
right.
a guy disrespects me and I'm in love with him, and so I just take him back. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I got disrespected. Really bad.
Right.
Like, to me, even above love now, that's another thing that I learned, and women should understand this, and I don't know what you're going to say to this, you know, point or whatever, but you can love me, but if you don't respect me, because you can love, respect to me is above love. Respect is something that is going, even though love rules, love conquers all, but there has to be a level of respect that you have for one another, that
yes.
for any relationship to be successful. And that's even with your kids, that's with your, because it starts, just like I said, that's respecting yourself. And I was guilty of not respecting myself in a lot of ways too, which, you know what I'm saying, in my past relationship where I was being disrespected, yes, I was disrespecting myself as well. I was doing things, you know what I'm saying? So
yes.
it's, like I said, it still comes all back to me. I'm that girl. I wrote a song, and it said, I'm losing. You know, all of this drinking, drugging to ease my mind. I'm having a hard time. And I said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know how to win this fight. I got it real bad. I'm having a hard time. But in the background, it says, it's all on me. Because everything that you do to cover up or to drown or to make pain go away, if you don't acknowledge it, it ain't never gonna go nowhere. If you don't mm-hmm. acknowledge that it starts with you, and that all of that, it begins with you, and the more that you work on yourself and work on the inside and work on self-love and self-respect, then ain't nobody gonna be able to cross that threshold again.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So that was great information, you know. A lot of women are in that space where, you know, they're in a relationship. My ex-husband was very similar. You know, a lot of my listeners know I'm very transparent. My ex-husband was awful to me. You know, he was a police officer. He cheated on me multiple times. I mean, multiple times. And it was to the fact where he was like, well, you're not going to go anywhere. Who wants you? What are you going to do? And it really did hurt my self-esteem, especially after I had my last child, because my last child was very, very difficult. I gained weight because I had extreme morning sickness. So they had me on two types of medication. The medication was supposed to, you know, help me keep food on me. So I ended up gaining all this weight. I couldn't get rid of it. My it basically slowed my metabolism so I wouldn't, you know, get rid of all my fat while I was carrying him. But they didn't tell me that it was going to be in my system for like 2 years. But yeah, that's a whole different story. But, you know, I was so abused, and I didn't realize that until, you know, one day I just got fed up and I just left. So it takes a strong woman to finally realize, you know, I'm much better than this. And, you know, I always try to preach about self-love first, you know, no matter mm-hmm. what kind of relationship you're in, whether it's your family, your friends. You have to have good self-love, because anybody will abuse you if you do not love yourself.
That's
and,
right.
And, you know, that's very key, and I'm glad you spoke on that. So mm-hmm. with all of that, how do your daughters – how is your relationship with your daughters now after that?
It's much better. Actually, you know, I've had a good relationship with my daughters for a long time. I'm that mom that we always talking about stuff, and I get real, you know, upset if I if something is going on, and we talk. I have that relationship with my mom. My mom is a, you know, we talk about things. We've got a good relationship. I was, you know, like I said, I judged her a lot when I was young because of the stuff that, you know, she would be going through, and always her confidant, you know what I'm saying? She would call me and talk and cry and all that. So my daughters are that way with me. My oldest had an issue with her dad for a while, for not being around and things like that, even though my ex-husband was raising her but I didn't know. Like, we had a talk, and she said, Mommy, I was so mad at you, you know what I'm saying, when you took him back. And when, you know, she was like, because she had gone through a period where she was suffering from depression. I had gotten her therapy, mm-hmm. but she was suffering from depression. And I didn't, you know, she would be like, Mom, can I please go see a therapist? Like, she was crying out for help. She was being very vocal about it. You know, she had tried to run away from home, you know, and my spirit that morning just literally, I didn't normally go in her bedroom, but I went in there that morning and I found a note, and I went and picked her up from the bus station. Her friend had sent her a bus ticket. And so, you know, it hasn't been without its problems, but
right.
I've got two loving daughters, and then my baby daughter, she's 12 now, but when I was in the midst of that, you know, abusive relationship, she started to act as protector. She started to be like, why is this so, you know, why are y'all yelling? Why is this? You know, she started doing that. She started, like, putting herself between us. Or, you know what I'm saying? And I was mm-hmm. like, this is not good for her either. But she's a very resilient child, too. She's so, you know, but she, you know, she's a lot happier. You know, I talked to my daughters when I left for good and was divorced and we moved and all of that. And I asked my baby daughter, I said, how do you feel now that, you know what I'm saying, like this is over and then your dad are divorced and all that. And her word, literally, her word was relief. That's how she felt. She was relieved. Yeah.
You know, that can be a lot of stress on everyone, you know, and
yeah.
especially the children. And I think some children are so mature now that they understand that, you know, not everybody's going to get along, and this is much better for me, my mm-hmm. mental state, than to hear all the fighting and the fussing. So I commend her for that, and I am happy that, you know, both of your daughters are on a good track now.
Yeah, and they like Steve a lot too. they just like to see me happy, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. And you know, as long as they encourage you, because that was going to be another question: how do they feel about you dating? But you know, they encourage you, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah, and they would never get to even see anybody else. You know, when I was dating, you know, I just, you know, kept that part of it. That's, you know, but until it was, you know, somebody that I felt was significant, you know what I'm saying? That was just, you know,
yeah,
mommy going out, I'm going out, you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? You gotta get back.
Oh, I totally understand. That's how I was at first. I kept my dating a secret a lot until, you know, we kind of got more and more serious. Then after that, it was like, well, who is this? Why is he? Who is this? Where are you going? You know, and my oldest started to be
You got boys. You got boys.
Right. And so, my son.
Boys are protected.
Yeah, because my son was 14 at the time. So he was like, where are you going? Where you been? I need to meet him, you know, and I never brought people around my kids early. So when Michael was like, so what, who is this guy? Who's this dude? You know, and my son was very standoffish at first, and I can't blame him, because he was like that about my ex-husband. But, you know, he wanted to know who Alaric was and what was going on and what kind of dude he was and his quote-unquote intentions with me. And, you know, so kids can be a major factor. Yeah, he was like my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Kids can be a major factor when it comes to that. So,
yeah, the girls were my oldest wasn't, but my youngest was a little more standoffish at first. But that's how she is with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's how she is with everybody until she gets to know him. She's a true Capricorn. She's very guarded.
Yeah.
And so, which she and I both are the same sign, but I'm a December 25th Capricorn, and I have a lot of Sagittarius fire in my zodiac chart. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a typical Capricorn, because I'm a lover of people. Most Capricorns are not.
Yeah, you're more my side, because I'm the 11th. So,
yeah. I'm more on the sad side, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your songwriting.
Okay.
How does love play into your songwriting?
Oh man, you know what? It's I don't know if I have written any song that just, well, I've written a couple of dance tunes or whatever, but most of my records have been about love and about either heartbreak. I was meeting with a producer one time, and I swear I was going to put out this EP, but I really didn't, because I had written a lot of these songs for other people that didn't necessarily just get placed, so they became my songs, you know what I'm saying? But I had demoed the records, and, you know, because, you know, I spent many, many years as an artist, and when I started writing songs, you know, my goal was to really, you know, pen songs for other artists. And so I really wasn't thinking about necessarily writing songs for my own experiences, right?
Right.
But the songs that I was writing, especially when I was going through the thick of my divorce, were all about the heartbreak and about things being, I wrote a song called Trouble. And it's basically about when you find yourself at the end of your road with a man, and you meet another man, and you know what I'm saying, you kind of, you know, do some little stuff, some freaky stuff or whatever, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
you end up in trouble, you know what I'm saying, like, that person is trouble, because, you know,
if you get caught or whatever. And then I wrote about got me running away. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that, you know, love always plays into the writing and your emotions. That's what makes it real. That's what makes it good and authentic. So, you know, then I've got, then, you know, I've, you know, a lot of times the track will dictate how I write or what I'm feeling. Not necessarily dictate what I'm feeling, but it'll bring up feelings. Like the track may invoke different feelings, but I always try to base it on some type of real experience so that I can tell the story and it can be relatable.
Right. Well, when you write for other people, how does, you know, do they tell you what they want or what their concept is and you write, or you just, I mean, I guess it's a combination of stuff. You have stuff that you just already want and have out, but if somebody has, you know, a special thing that they want, you do that as well?
Well, there, it's a, okay, it depends on how the songwriting's done. Okay, like, sometimes you may have a project where you're working for a person and they're paying you to write songs for them, and that, you know, either if you're executive producing, though, you actually, you know, can guide the theme of what the project is. Then you have where you work with a producer and they have tracks and they you know, may have a situation with a record company or something where they the tracks that they have need lyrics so that they can shop them to other artists. So if that's the case, then, you know what I'm saying, you're kind of, you're still free to just, you know, create and without having, you know, necessarily a stencil for somebody else's ideas. But then you also, if I know that I'm writing for a particular artist, you know what I'm saying, you try to get to know that artist. I've done a lot of stuff for independent people. So, mm-hmm. you know, you want to get to know that artist, you want to get to know that their voice so that, you know, when you write, the songs are easy to sing, that they can connect with them and stuff like that. So it really just depends on the situation surrounding, you know, creating the songs. And but when I'm writing for myself, it's definitely about me. It's definitely about my life experience. It's definitely about my opinions. And usually, I mean, even when I'm writing for other people, that rings true. It's just that they're telling the story. You know what I'm saying? Their voice is actually, you know, on the record. And then there's some, I'm working with an artist right now. Her name is Jayana. And I wrote a song called Tidal Wave for her. It's kind of like an Afrobeat song. Mm-hmm. And she's got this great voice, though. She's got this voice that is so bluesy. And she's only 22 years old, but she's had this crazy life. You can just tell. You know what I'm saying? She's already got two children. She had a, you know, bad relationship, abusive already. You know, just all this stuff that she's been through. But she's got this Amy Winehouse soul to her voice. And, like, I would love to, like, write a classic record for her. She's actually said that she wanted me to do something like an Etta James at last. Or, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she wants some classic, like, old school type record. I just haven't really heard the track for it yet. I told her manager that, like, it's, but if I hear it, I'm going to write it and she's going to sing it. But, you know, so situations like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me ask you this before we forget. What is the social media so people can contact you and get in touch with you?
Oh, okay. So my social media is at Sharia. It's Sharhea. And at Sharia Music, which is Sharhea Music, spelled just normally. If you know how to spell my first name, you can find me on any social media platform because the spelling of my name is very unique. And you could also follow Love Rules 101K on Instagram and Sharia Mitchell on Facebook. And I've got a couple of more pages to come, but if you have those two main pages, because I am developing a page and a website for my foundation, but, like, I literally just became official, so I am very excited. Yeah, so for the UPENDO Global Education Fund, yes.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. Now, let's talk about dating.
Okay.
Especially now with, well, you've known my fiance, like you said, so you know my age range. How do you feel about dating in your 40s?
Girl, okay, just from my perspective, I can't speak on other women. I'm going to tell you something funny. I'm 47 years old, but I don't look like it. So I get,
no, she doesn't.
I get a lot of young dudes trying to talk to me. And the best thing about it is they love women in their 40s.
Yes.
They absolutely love women in their 40s. So it's like you're some kind of that people call us cougars or whatever, but to be honest with you, them cubs out there, they the ones that are coming after the cougars. They're coming after that milk or whatever, honey.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do it with them. You know, the younger guys, it's just for, it's a couple of reasons. I'm not having any more children. I thought about that at first,
mm-hmm.
but at this point, no. I don't want to be 50 years old with a toddler. You know, I just don't.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to give my time and nurture. Plus, my oldest daughter is of the age where she, you know, in a few years, you know, down the line or whatever, she'll have a baby that I can, you know, take care of then too. So,
right.
My niece just had a new baby. So whenever I want some new baby stuff, I can go around them and leave. And, you know, I'm saying I'm still good. I ain't got to go through all that. But, you know, that's one of the reasons I wouldn't date, you know, much younger man, because they might want more children than you have, or, you know, might want children if they don't have any. Then when you get, you know, then plus just the values and the way that the younger generation has grown up. Like, you know, I've had guys approach me that don't wear their pants up. And I'm like, yeah, no. Like, you know, because the mother, the teacher in me kicks in. And so that kind
mm-hmm.
of stuff. But then you got the guys in the 40s, and, you know, of course I hear from my girlfriends and stuff like that. It's just that they, you know, everybody in their 40s, you know, past a certain age, they have an expectation. Either they've been through a divorce or they haven't been married, so they really want to do that. Kids are grown. I think it's just, you know, it depends on the situation, but you know, as far as the men, you know, you've got, I think, three types. You got the type that, the ones that haven't been married, and, you know, it's a reason that you got up that far in age and you ain't married and you ain't never been married. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
You got to figure that out. So you got that. Then you have these guys that are in their 40s that have been married and are damaged in some kind of way. Or mm-hmm. this is the same thing with females. You know what I'm saying? We could all put ourselves into these categories. And then you have the guys that are, and girls that are, you know, even if they haven't been damaged or whatever, they start to feel like they're in a rush. They start
right.
to feel like they're running out of time. So you got, you know, and that causes a certain level of stress, you know what I'm saying, on dating anyway, because everybody wants to find, you know, the true love. But and then people are listening to, you know, the Steve Harvey method and the T.D. Jakes method and the,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, and all of this, and what they don't understand is that there ain't no cookie cutter way. So you know what I'm saying, you just have to, like I said, if you're working on yourself and you start there, then everything else follows.
Right, exactly. Well, I always end my podcast, I have two more questions. One
okay.
is, what is love to you?
Ooh, love is a verb. It's an action. It's it is caring deeply about another person like you do yourself,
mm-hmm.
and it is manifest in action.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is to me.
Okay.
It's a feeling that that you know, I feel within myself that I can, you know, feel for another person, and I can manifest it with action.
Okay. And what?
It's also my middle name. My middle name is Upendo, and it means love in Swahili. Just for everybody out there who didn't know how to say, because our language is English, which is not our original language, but the African language, Swahili, my middle name is love.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Even more reason why I love you.
Right?
Yes. And my final question is, what would you like the listeners to know about you that I didn't ask?
I would like everyone to know that I'm a very strong person, but I'm strong. People need to be checked on too, and strong people, a lot of times when I was going through things, people judged and people talked, and no one ever wants to feel like that, because those same people, I ask, well, why didn't you check on me? Why didn't you call me? Why didn't you, instead of talking about me or believing what somebody says? So when people say they care about you and stuff like that, and, you know, it's like it is an action. When people say they love you, it is an action. And so, you know, I want people to know that even though I have very, very strong a personal, you know, fortitude and constitution, that I'm just as vulnerable as the next person, and I like for my people that say that they love me to show it with their actions too. Check on me, like, you know what I'm saying, like, because everybody that's strong is not always okay. And I went through a time when you know, I figured people, because I'm always gonna have a smile and stuff like that. That's one thing about me that's consistent. My big old laugh and my smile, and you know what I'm saying? I'm not a person that holds on to stress very much. Like, I really don't. I let it out. I'm a cry. I'm a cuss. You know what I'm saying? Get angry, mm-hmm. and then it's done. I'm a let it out, and then it's done. So that, but there are things that stick with you, even though, you know what I'm saying, it happens in moments, but it still sticks with you. And sometimes, you know, that was one of the things that stuck with me over time, that is that, you know, I seem to be such the strong person that, you know, people would check on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Check on your strong friends.
They need it. That's right.
Yes, they need it. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast.
This was fun. It was awesome.
We have to bring you on again. This was just the love and dating side, but we got to dig deep and talk about sex and foolishness.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to do that. I do want to do that.
Maybe we can do that as a part two for next week.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Well, again, thank you. This has been Sharia Mitchell. Follow her on all her social media. Please support. And, of course, you know, I will be posting her information to share, so you can find her that way as well. And we'll be right back.
All right. Great.
Hey guys, it's Dr. San, and we are talking about spanking in the bedroom today. Yes, you know, a lot of us have, a matter of fact, 25% of all Americans have thought about spanking during sex at one point in time. So, you know, these are just going to be some tips to help you navigate through it, you know. Hopefully it will be something that is pleasurable for you and get you started in a new turn in your life. So one of the first things I would always say is, don't be afraid to use toys. You know, use the paddle, use the whip, but make sure that it is something to your liking, and make sure that you agree with it. And just to piggyback off that, I would say, make sure that you talk to your partner beforehand. Make sure that you understand your boundaries when it comes to this, and how do you feel about the whole situation? How far are you willing to go with it? Something else I would say is if you want to talk about it, you know, bring it up in a sexually casual manner. Make sure that it's nothing clinical, but, you know, just have a general discussion about it. And when you talk about it, make your expectations clear. Tell them, you know, about how far you want to go. Again, make sure that your boundaries are really, really clear. And start slow. You know, that's something else. Start light, playful spanks. And if you're interested in moving up from that, then yes, you can do that. But make sure you start off slow and easy so that you're comfortable and your partner is comfortable as well. The last tip that I have for you is, you know, be prepared for the possibility that your partner may not be that into it. It can be a little daunting, and some people don't like the feeling of being feeling danger in the bedroom, or, you know, it may bring up some bad memories of things that have happened before. We're trying to make sure that we don't trigger anything for anyone. So, you know, be prepared that your partner may not like it and ask you to stop, and make sure that you respect their wishes and stop. Hey, that's been all the tips about spanking. If you're interested in spanking, do some more research, or you can reach out to me. If you have any questions for the podcast, make sure that you reach me at letslearnlove.com. I can make sure that you're anonymous with your questions, but I will answer your questions. So if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to contact me. Hope you liked it. Bye.
And as we close another episode of Let's Learn Love, remember to follow the Let's Learn Love social media pages. And if you have any questions for the podcast, be sure to send them to letslearnlove@outlook.com. See you next episode.